Okay. He's respected by the community and acknowledged as a man of honesty. You can trust him. You can go to him and talk about any matter. And you can rest assured that that can be done and is done in confidence. That's the way the teaching goes. And here's some things I've just come up with. Maybe not scriptural, but I think they apply. How about this? An elder is a good neighbor. Y'all agree with that? How about this next one? He pays his bills. Would y'all agree with that? His business ethics are first class. How about that one? How about this next one? He's fair-minded. And this next one, he shows no prejudice. That's important these days, isn't it? And people outside the church know that an elder is a Christian. He doesn't have to wear a badge that says, Brother Smith, elder, South Main Church Tribe. His life will tell the world, the community, that he's a Christian. So my prayer is that God will raise up strong, godly men here at South Main who will take this church to new heights of service and outreach to the glory of God. I think I have about 2 minutes if you want to make a comment about anything I said or anything that I left off. Anything. Okay, Bobby, you're up.
The lot fell on me for qualifications of home life. Qualifications of home life. Most of this is found in 1 Timothy, also chapter 3, and Titus chapter 1. It starts out with the husband of one wife. Some of the commentaries that I saw talked about not to be like the Jews in the time of Christ. A Jew during the time of Christ, a lot of them had more than one wife. And now I'm not saying this. This is some thoughts that have been going on through history that they should be not a Jew that had more than one wife, which would play into it. He is not to take a second wife after the death of his first. Now, I don't know about that. I scratch my head about that. And I'll explain why in a minute. He is not to marry again while his wife is divorced. That's something that we all need to think about as we look to a man as an elder. And he is to be a man faithful to his wife. And I think here's what plays into the fact that if his wife has passed away and he takes a second wife, I personally would not have a problem with him being an elder because of he understands the law of God. When it comes to husband and wives, this man is dedicated to that woman and he's faithful to that woman and he understands God's plan of one man for one woman. Now, if his wife passes away, that frees him to marry again. And personally, I think he understood with his first wife what God's plan was. And if he marries again, watch and make sure that he's still understands God's plan for marriage. Now, That falls on circumstances. We all understand circumstances, but I really can't hold to the fact that if his wife has passed away and he remarries, that he could not be. Is that me? I thought you'd behave in here, Pat, but I guess not. Anyway, the husband of one wife is the fact that he understands God's plan, that he is to be faithful and true to his wife. If you read in Song of Solomon, the husband and the wife and the relationship there, if you go through that and understand that their love for one another, that's God's plan, that it's sacred between those two people. And that's where we look at the husband of one wife. He treats her like a queen. He respects her and listens to her opinion. That's where the husband of one wife. Because this will play in, to me, will play in later into what the qualifications of a man should be. He manages his family well. I know a lot of people have different ideas about this. I first took some of my thoughts on this from the military, because the leader in a military is to be out front. And that's the way this man should be. He should be in front of his family, protecting them, leading them, directing them in what he feels is best for the family. Now, we could spread that out. It can also refer to a congregation. Ray mentioned earlier that he's not to be a novice or someone new to a congregation. That he has to know his congregation like he knows his family. He's to love his family, not only in deed, but in words. A lot of us grew up and we never heard "I love you" from our dads. Doesn't mean we didn't know that they loved us. We knew that fact by the way they treated us and provided for us. But I think we also need to know that this man can express his love vocally also. He has the respect of his family. That comes, personally I feel, that comes from him leading by example within his family. Anybody ever heard, "Do as I say, not as I do," when you were growing up? I think that's kind of a stumbling block when it comes to families. We should, as men and fathers and husbands, lead by example and not say, "Just because I said so." Well, I always wanted to know why you said so. But I didn't always get that. But that's leading by example. Teaching life skills. I think this is very important too. Teaching life skills. And I know some OCD people, Paul, understand that when it comes to banking and taking care of money, it's easier for you to sit down and do it right now and get it out of the way than it is to sit down and train your kids and like, "Oh, they put it in the wrong place," and sit there and just drives you nuts that they didn't put it in the right place. But part of being a father or a leader in the family is teaching them these life skills. Whether it's banking, whether it's cleaning house. My mother taught me, much to my disapproval at the time, how to cook, how to clean clothes, how to make a bed with hospital folds. And when it came to the military, it saved my bacon. Anybody that goes in the military knows that you have to make your own bed with hospital folds. So that's what a good husband should do, is to teach life skills. And make decisions that's best for the family. And a lot of times that's hard because you have, especially as your kids get older, they have a certain idea as to how things should go. Your wife has a certain idea as to how the things should go. But when it comes to spiritual matters and what's best for the family, he's to take over. He knows the strengths and weaknesses of his family. You know, a lot of us were raised where we were disciplined the same way. My brother got the same beating I did. And I could stand there and take it sometimes and just like, I don't know why he's doing this. My brother started it. But we need to know the strengths and weaknesses where we can discipline each individual in the most effective way. And to help them improve their weaknesses and overcome those things, and they can strengthen their strengths. Now, what that does is causes us to take time. We have to take time to visually watch the family and make sure they're ready for these things. Also, teach scripturally. I know a lot of families have allowed the mothers, and I'm not browbeating the women, but we, as men, have allowed the mothers to take total control of teaching scripture. And we, as men, need to step up and teach our children, study with our wives, and because Neva and I, we bounce things back and forth off of one another all the time when it comes to our classes. We need to do this and then transfer that to our children. And then teach them how to live the Christian life out in the world, because we know that's not easy. Now, this to me leads to the fact that if a man can do this at home, he can do it in the congregation. Because this is a family. And elders need to know their children, their flock, what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are, and to be able to work with them through their strengths and improve their weaknesses. And when it comes to the point to where I disagree with this passage, I disagree with this passage, I agree with it, spiritual leaders need to be able to stand up and say, this is what we're following. And with that respect of elders to the flock should say, okay, I don't like it, but I'll follow it. Because that, as a man in his family, if he can do that with his family, he can do that with congregation. Children, obey him with proper respect. I know that there's always times when children and parents disagree. But to me, it's like the parable Jesus told of telling his children, two boys, to go and do this particular thing. One of them says, I won't. The other one says, I'll do it. But the one that said, I won't, went back and did it anyway. That's the respect to me that, that children ought to have for their parents. When the other one that said he would do it didn't. Now, how do we do that? I want to incorporate your idea if you know how to do that. Because a lot of times it just don't happen. We know that there's rebellious children. But as long as they're at home and they're showing you the kind of respect that you deserve as a parent, because that's the way God set it up. He wants us to respect Him, to love Him, to show honor to Him. The disciples did the same things to Jesus. And we want our kids to do the same thing for us. Now, I know you're going to have arguments. That's different than showing disrespect. Disrespect is exploding and going through disobedience, and to the point that out in the community, they know that you're disobedient to your parents. And that's another part of this scripture down here. Children are not open to the charges of being wild and disobedient. If they have that respect for you at home, they're going to have that respect out in the community. And one follows the other. A lot of people say the scripture says you have to have children. I disagree with that. You have to have a child, at least one. Not necessarily more than one. Because if we go back, and this word is interchangeable in scripture to me, if we go back to Genesis 21:7, and it's talking about Sarah, and she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." We use children all the time in both ways. Because she only bore one child. So it doesn't necessarily mean that a family couple has to have more than one child to be an elder. As long as he has this respect for others, the kids have respect for him, and he works through these other processes that I've already talked about, then I think he's qualified. Now, here's how I'm going to kind of summarize this up. He should be faithful to the plan of God, that one man to one woman for life. He should be in control of his family as a leader, as a teacher, a provider, a protector. He should be respected, and he should be followed. His children should be obedient to him, respectful, faithful to him, not a wasteful life. And not out of control. That's the man of the family. From what I understand in Scripture. Any questions? Paul? Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you know, it's... If we can handle that stress and pressure at home, where we're behind closed doors and nobody sees us, if we can control that, then we can control it honestly in public. Any other comments or questions? Yeah. What? Well, I will tell you why I didn't open that can of worms. Is I was studying last night, and the only place it's found is in Titus. It's not in both passages. I went to the literal Greek. Now, I didn't read the Greek. Tom's the only one that does that. Him and Bob. But I went to, I have a translation that takes the Greek and puts the English word above it. So it flip-flops a lot of stuff. And when I read that, it confused me. Because it to me, it combines the fact that believing children and put my notes up. Children that are obedient to the Father. To me, it was all in one meaning. I passed over that for the simple fact that I'm not convinced on how this reads yet. Now, I was going to visit with Tom and Bob and some others to get their twist on it. But I did not address that because of that confusion in my mind. Now, personally, again, this is me. After children become of age and they're out on their own, they have their own mindset. No matter what you've done at home, if they can be respectful at home, they can listen to your word, they can go to church with you all their lives, but at some point they're going to leave home. And when they do, Scripture tells us a man cleaves to his mother, to his wife, and they become a family and they're on their own. The parents have nothing to do with them. No, as far as no responsibility for them as far as their actions and their decisions. So, where do we draw that line? And again, I think that goes back to what Travis said, is that there are times when children get out on their own and they appear to have been faithful all their lives in as long as they were at home. And when they get out on their own, they make decisions that don't follow these rules. To me, that's their business. It has nothing to do with how they were raised. That's, and so till I get that straight in my head, I'm not going to go any farther with that. No, that's fine. That's something that we all need to study and understand. This is just highlight the things that we know from what we've studied so far. And when I read that last night, I'm not going to confuse anybody unless they bring it up, then I'll confuse everybody. Mario. And their instruction while they were at home was to follow God's word, and this is what Scripture says. Bob?
You can read it. The Bible also says that every person will be judged for their own action.
So this goes back to study. Yes, sir. Something to think about. And I know this throws a whole lot of rocks into the water to muddy it up, but that's why we need to go back and continue to study these things. All right, that was First Bell. Anything else? Thank y'all.